Across central Wisconsin, people are tuning in and sounding off. Call in now. 715-845-2155. WSAU Feedback on AM 550, FM 99.9, WSAU.
Welcome to Feedback. It's 8 minutes after 8 in the AM. And it is a pleasure that we're going to get things started off this morning with Senator Ron Johnson on the phone with us. Thank you, Senator, for giving us a few minutes of your busy day. How are you?
Real good, Seth. How about yourself?
So far, so good. At least it's not snowing. I've been giving our weather guy a hard time about all the weather and the snow and so forth, but a little rain we can deal with.
Yeah, well, we've gotten quite a bit in Wisconsin there, so.
Yeah, it's a little soggy everywhere. What is on your agenda? What are the high points that you've got on your plate now that from D.C. and here about in your district?
Well, you know, I'm on Senate Foreign Relations Committee, so the events happening in Ukraine, I've made a couple trips over to that region in the last couple months. That's obviously a real concern. It does need to concern every American. Russia's aggressive expansion does really threaten world peace, world security, our global economic order. We need to take that pretty seriously. And probably one of the best ways of really addressing that long term is we need to free up our oil and gas markets worldwide. What gives Vladimir Putin power is his monopoly on providing that oil and gas to Ukraine and to Europe. And you know, one thing that's kind of interesting, Seth, is I made one of those trips with North Dakota Senator John Hoeven. And you know, they've got no unemployment basically. I mean, they have unemployment extremely low.
Right, they're booming right now.
Yeah, because they're actually utilizing their God-given natural resources. But because there's not enough demand for natural gas in the U.S., they're just wasting about 36% of all the natural gas that comes up with the oil drilling.
So they're just burning it off as they drill it, aren't they?
They're just flaring it.
Yep.
And if we actually open up the world energy market, so there'd be demand for that, it'd actually then be worth the capital investment, the private sector capital investment that would create jobs to capture that natural gas so we wouldn't waste it. I mean, you know, as a business guy, as a fiscal conservative, I mean, it just makes you so frustrated that that's what's happening because of really ill-conceived energy policies. And then it has the also very bad unintended consequence of destabilizing the world situation because Russia maintains their monopoly. So, you know, these things, you know, we live in a global economy. All these things are interconnected. Sometimes isn't real apparent, but they are.
Well, this morning I even talked briefly about how Russia has, and I believe it's more symbolic and it's more saber-rattling than anything else. But Russia has said, according to their deputy prime minister, Dmitry Rogozin, saying, yeah, NASA, as far as us giving the astronauts a ride up to the International Space Station, yeah, not so much anymore. You're going to put sanctions on us? Well, guess what? We're not giving your guys a ride. This issue of Ukraine and the Crimean area, this is all having a lot of ripple effect all over the world.
It is such a shame because it makes no economic sense for Vladimir Putin to do what he's doing. It really is very ego-driven on his part. He's got this concept of reconstituting something like the Soviet Union, increasing Russia's sphere of influence. And, of course, the best way of doing that is cooperate with the West. I mean, that's certainly what the Europeans are trying to do, integrate their economies, do free trade between borders and stuff to everybody's benefit. And but this has happened time and time again on the world stage, and we have to recognize that reality that so many world events are really driven by a megalomaniac and an egomaniac, and can really destabilize regions. And you have to recognize that reality, which means you achieve peace through strength. And as much as we want to turn inward and be isolationists here in America, we have to recognize that we are the world superpower. When America doesn't lead, the world becomes a far more dangerous place, and that danger comes back to our shoreline, as we saw in 9/11.
Well, this is what we've talked about in the past as well, is that the reason that Vladimir Putin feels that he has now the authority to act out on his own selfish desires, the same reason why Kim Jong-un of North Korea might get a wild idea that he's got the ability to act out on his psychotic behavior, is that they do not fear the retribution of the United States.
No, the world is watching. Look at what China's doing, you know, challenging islands in the east.
Right, challenging Japan and
setting up new air spaces, and you also have Iran watching very carefully. We're trying to do some sort of deal with them to make sure they don't become a nuclear power, but that doesn't seem to be going very well. So again, when America doesn't show leadership, I know world leaders often for their internal politics, like to beat up on the United States, but behind the scenes privately, they really hate to see America not show that moral leadership that only America can provide. I really do think we're not, America's not perfect, but we are a phenomenal force for good in the world.
Forgive me, but say that one more time. Who is it that says one thing publicly and then behind closed doors has another opinion? Who is this?
Oh, all kinds of world leaders.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, for their public consumption, they'll beat up on the United States, but privately, behind the scenes, they're looking for the United States to provide stability toward their region.
Senator, let me ask you, though, when you're talking about retribution and answering the aggression of these countries, what would you have the United States do now that they haven't been doing?
Well, again, I really would open up our world energy markets. I think the administration should announce and let the applications for more than 20 LNG terminals to move forward. That would send a very powerful signal to Vladimir Putin that, you maybe have this oil monopoly now, but it's not going to last. So, come on back into the world economic order here. Let's go back to a position where you're a friendly rival as opposed to an unfriendly adversary, and let's make sure we don't turn into enemies. That'd be the worst thing for world security. So I think you just have to be very overt in terms of what your long-term strategies are, but also be very welcoming. Yeah, again, I want Russia to be our friend, but that's not happening because we are showing the type of weakness, the lack of resolve, where Vladimir Putin thinks he can achieve a larger status with impunity, and we can't allow him to continue this expansion with impunity.
No. Because that is, like we've already mentioned, other world leaders and individuals that feel that it is their destiny to bring down the United States, damage the United States in any way they can, they're also observing this.
Yeah,
and if we don't do anything for a major world leader, we're not going to do anything against some minor despot that has access to something quite harmful.
Do you think any response we give, though, to people like Kim Jong-un and Putin and Iran needs to be, I don't want to use the word vetted, but at least needs to be agreed upon with our other allies before we go off on our own to do something, whether it's sanctions or whether it's something more than that?
Sure, and again, I'm happy to try and impose some sanctions. I really kind of want one-way sanctions that primarily put a hurt on Putin, and that's part of the problem with European sanctions against Russia. It's hard to do that where it doesn't hurt us as bad as it hurts him. So that's why I'm much more interested in opening up world energy markets. I'm much more interested in showing a stronger military presence. Yeah. We really should be cajoling. And by the way, no doubt about it, if we're unified as Europe and the United States and NATO, that is going to be far more effective than just have the United States go on its own. So one of the things we need to do is really continue to talk to our NATO partners, make sure that they at least honor their commitment to spend at least 2% of their GDP on their own national defense. America has been asked to bear the burden for way too long. It's time for Europeans to step up the plate, provide for their own defense, but we've got to be there and we've got to lead. And we need to have a more robust presence in places like Poland, in the Baltic states. Again, it's a demonstration of strength, which will achieve, has a greater likelihood of achieving peace.
I agree with it 100%. Because we're limited on time, I'd like to shift gears very quickly. I need to take a quick break. Do you have the availability
sure.
to hold on through the commercial? Good. When we come back, I want to talk about a report that I read in the Washington Times this morning regarding some of the illegal immigrants that the administration released back into society last year. Something like 36,000 were released back into the United States. Hundreds of them were some pretty nasty characters. And I want to talk to you a little bit about it and see what can we do to keep that from happening this year, if you don't mind.
Sure, happy to.
All right, WSAU, this is Feedback. We're talking with Senator Ron Johnson, and we'll be taking your phone calls after the bottom of the hour. This is Feedback. We'll be right back.
Severe weather updates on WSAU.com. And on air at AM 550, FM 99.9, WSAU.
Welcome back to Feedback. 715-845-2155 is the phone number. We'll take your phone calls at the bottom of the hour. Right now, we're talking to Senator Ron Johnson about a variety of things. But up next is the impact of the immigration issue on Wisconsin. Senator, I don't think it's any big surprise to anybody that listens that migrant workers are a big part of our agricultural department, you know, our agriculture here in Wisconsin, and that changes in immigration laws will have some sort of an impact, one way or the other, on agriculture. What the ongoing issue, and I think immigration is going to be another big issue when it comes to the 2016 presidential campaign. Help, it can be very confusing, and even within the Republican Party, there, you know, some that say we got to do this, others over here say we got to do that. Help me to understand, what is the Senate looking at as far as immigration reform, and kind of in a quick sound, you know, a quick concise.
Well, unfortunately, the Senate passed a very flawed immigration reform bill. It's comprehensive, didn't fix the problem. It would have spent $260 billion on welfare benefits for non-U.S. citizens. Even the CBO reported it only solved 30 to 50% of illegal immigration. So it just didn't solve the problem. And the article you were talking to me about in the Washington Times, it showed that this administration released 36,000 immigrants. There are 116 with convictions for homicide, 43, you know. That undermines, and that is why the American people have no faith that this administration, or really the federal government, is actually ever going to secure the border. So, I have yet to have, and it'll happen someday, I've never had an immigrant in Wisconsin ask for citizenship. What I have, and I think we would all agree with this, what I've had is young children, you know, coming up and say, don't deport my mom or dad, or young couples, don't deport my husband. He was brought over here as a two-year-old. We're not going to do that. So what we need to do is fix our legal immigration system. That we need to reduce all the incentives for illegal immigration, actually secure the border, and we do have to deal with the millions of people living in the shadows, but we certainly don't release criminals, murderers, you know, people that have taken, you know, convicted of assault and drunk driving. Yeah. We don't release them into the general population. You know, murderers need to serve out the term and then be deported. Drunk drivers need to be deported. Those are the people that should be deported, not people that came here illegally. That, you know, listen, they're going to have to pay fines. They've got to, they have to pay a penalty because they've done something illegal. But for those that have come to America seeking opportunity, and their only crime or crimes is that illegal crossing, whatever they had to do to get a job, and they've been working, they've been contributors to their communities. You know, I don't think we don't have a capacity to deport them. I don't think we will. We've got to address that as well. But we first start with securing the borders and fixing our broken legal immigration system.
Absolutely.
There's ways of doing it, but this undermines those. You know, this administration not enforcing the laws, releasing criminals, murderers into the general population, undermines any good faith, goodwill attempt to actually fix our immigration system.
Yeah, and the article that we're referring to is from the Washington Times, and you can find it at washingtontimes.com. The article says that 36,000 immigrants, the United States Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE, 36,000 immigrants, ICE released them back into the American population, all right? Excuse me. Of those, 116 were not suspected of homicide, but had convictions for homicide, 43 convictions of negligent manslaughter, 14 for voluntary manslaughter. And what's very disturbing is one of the convictions classified by ICE themselves as willful homicide in order to kill a public official with a gun.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a good quote by Representative Lamar Smith, says, this would be considered the worst prison break in American history, except it was sanctioned by the president, President Obama, and perpetrated by our own immigration officials. That's the problem. That's why it's very difficult to do a deal, to negotiate, to compromise with this administration on immigration reform, which is what Speaker Boehner said, is, you know, it's pretty hard to think the House is going to act when you've got an administration acting so lawlessly, so unconstitutionally, failing to enforce the laws that Congress writes and that future presidents have passed and signed.
And if we remember, during the sequestration, there was a release of prisoners, illegal immigrants, that had similar track records for violent offenders, sex offenders, and the like, that were released out because, oh, the sequestration caused such a financial hardship, which was bullcrap.
Well, I think those are those very political moves, kind of like closing the World War II memorial.
Exactly.
you know, just to highlight, you know, how mean, right, nasty Republicans were for, you know, actually looking to try and be fiscally responsible.
All right, and here's the problem I have. I want those that are in Congress, both the House and the Senate, I want strong leadership to stand up and say, I am not going to participate in the dog and pony show. I am not going to participate in things being done to manipulate and influence the attitude of the public. I want leadership to do something because it is right for the country and it is constitutionally sound. I'm not the only one. Everyone in this country is hungry for integrity and honesty, regardless of your ideals, hungry for honesty and integrity as our representatives.
Well, Seth, what I've been trying to do is I go, you know, when I come back on Friday, because, you know, my job really is here in Washington, D.C., you know, I spend all day traveling around the state, giving my PowerPoint presentation in a very nonpartisan way. Here are the facts. Here are the figures. Here's the problem. Because I'm a manufacturer. I do root cause analysis. I've done a lot of problem solving. And the first step in any problem solving process is to admit you have a problem. Then the second step is you have to properly define it. And collectively as Americans, we're not admitting to the problem. We're certainly not diagnosing it properly. We're not looking at the root cause of the problem. And again, from my standpoint, illegal immigration, we didn't have a problem until we destroyed our legal immigration system in the 60s. And because we no longer had a functioning guest worker program that made sense, where we didn't, you know, it is crazy. We educate the brightest people in the world, and then we force them to go back to the country of origin, and those bright minds are then in China and India producing products, developing manufacturing companies to compete with us. We ought to attract the best minds in the world to America. That's what creates a vibrant economy. That's what grows a strong middle class. You know, you want higher wages, have a strong economy so employers are competing for workers. That's how you raise the minimum wage, by having employers in the marketplace demanding good people and having to compete for them.
Absolutely. Senator, I know we're running out of time. I know you have got a lot of other important things that you've got to take care of. Anything else you want to let us know about before we have to go to another commercial break?
Well, let me just make the following statement is, you know, believe, you know, I'm really asking Wisconsinites, believe what your eyes and ears are telling you about Washington, D.C. It is dysfunctional, so stop growing it. Put aside the demagoguery. Get informed and start thinking. Think for yourself. You know, take a look at a $16 trillion war on poverty and ask, did it work? Are we going to keep doing the same things for a couple more decades and still have as many people in poverty, abject poverty? Or are we going to start rethinking, you know, how we handle these things, how we try and solve these problems? And the solution, let me tell you, most of the solutions do not lie here in the federal government in Washington, D.C. They're going to lie in your communities, with individuals, with renewed faith, renewed family, strengthened communities. That's where the solutions lie, and I just want people to start thinking about that so we can actually solve these problems.
Couldn't agree with you more. Senator Johnson, thank you very much for being on the program. It's an honor to have you on.
Have a great day.
You too. All right, we're going to take another break. When we come back, we'll open up the phone lines for you. 715-845-2155.
Wisconsin Morning News now. The Jerry Bader Show at 9 on AM 550, FM 99.9 WSAU.